Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning. Welcome to this edition of Atlanta Business Radio, powered by Business Radio X. I'm your host, Alex Gossett-Shiflett, and we have a three very special guests in our studio today. But before we get started, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter at Business Radio X. Also, today's show, Atlanta Business Radio, you can follow us at Atlanta Biz Radio, and you can connect with me personally on Twitter at Alex G. Shiflett. Love to hear from you, and you can check out our pictures, the pictures of our guests in our studio. All right, our three guests today, we have Ingrid Miller from Rural Sourcing, we have Keith Wilmot from LeaderCast, and we have Mark Mobley from Georgia Calls. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Good. Ingrid, we're going to start with you. Now, tell us what Rural Sourcing is.
Rural Sourcing is a U.S.-based software development outsourcer, and the idea is that 20 to 30 years ago, many software development jobs went offshore, and we are looking to bring those jobs back to the U.S. We locate in smaller cities where we're finding untapped pools of talent who are very capable of doing high-end, cutting-edge software development work. We look to find locations that have strong universities that we can locate near, as well as tapping into the local talent.
Give us some examples of the locations.
So our original location is in Jonesboro, Arkansas. We then expanded into Augusta, Georgia, just a few hours from here in Atlanta, Mobile, Alabama, and our most recent and thriving center is Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Really? Albuquerque?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the current IT outsourcing marketplace?
You know, like I said, it's very interesting. I think a lot of companies looked at cost only and went offshore. And what they're finding is that there are many things that can be done offshore at a lower cost. But there is this need for higher levels of security as well as speed to market. And nowadays, IT is not just looked at as the cost center that it used to be. It's looked at very much as driving strategy and driving corporate strategy and where the companies are taking their business. And so they're looking at companies like ours where they can find some cost savings, but also work very closely with in the same time zone with high-end talent that can work closely with their teams, travel on site, et cetera, versus the offshore model.
Okay. And tell us about, you mentioned that the things that were important about IT, and you mentioned security. Hmm. Can you talk about that for a minute?
You know, I think so much has happened over the past, even just in the last few years. And board of directors and shareholders are now looking at leadership of companies and saying, you know, where is our code? Who are we asking to do the work? We've sent things offshore to China and India and other places, and we're finding out that governments are intervening in some of these offshore providers. And the concern is that, you know, you look at the basics like HIPAA and those of our healthcare companies, as well as high-end companies that, you know, we're losing IP to offshore companies that they don't follow the same rules that we have here in America. And companies are having to really look at, is that cost worth it, right? By the time they look at the total cost of ownership, yes, they've saved money by sending it offshore in the immediate, but they're having to look at that and realize that the opportunity costs and other costs that they are undertaking because of the things that are happening, that it doesn't make as much sense.
Yes, we had a couple of weeks ago, we had a professional hacker on the show, and that was his job. He goes in and hacks and, you know, shows weaknesses in the company's IT. So yeah, that's definitely something that you have to think about. What are the benefits of domestic outsourcing?
First and foremost, we are providing cutting-edge software developers, QA analysts, scrum masters. We are finding that there are these pools of talent, folks that have traveled, have worked at large companies, but are interested in living their lives in smaller cities. And what that allows is it allows us to provide same time zone, same language, understanding of an industry, right? We have a client who is in the insurance space. And when they work offshore, folks in India and other places don't understand going into a dentist, having an insurance provider, how that process works. And so our folks are able to look at a tech spec or the work that they're being asked to do and bring a higher level of value because they can look at it and say, well, actually, you know, what happens when? Because I know I've been through that experience. And I think the ability to be on site with our clients and work with that face-to-face periodically, as well as keeping costs down by locating in higher quality of life, lower cost of living locations, we're seeing those benefits for our clients.
And you're seeing that some people would rather live in a smaller city.
Absolutely. Having sat in my car this morning on my commute here, I wouldn't mind giving that commute up as well. You know, I think we see this drive towards cities, but we also realize that the same level of talent is in middle America. It's in smaller cities in every state. And what we're trying to do at Rural Sourcing is tap into that, right? We have 4 centers now. We really want to get to 10 and then more and look at how we're creating high-tech folks in every area within America.
Right. And more people now than ever are working at home.
Yep. We're big believers in our development center. I think we try and bring folks all into one place to really get that collaboration. We make use of a lot of video conference with our clients and in the agile scrum world, you'll see often that many folks are up on the whiteboards with sticky notes and working out their agile project management.
So this, you probably already answered my next question. What is the impact on the local community?
It's profound. I think we, first and foremost, we're coming in and we're creating a market for IT that's a little bit different than they're used to. Typically in these smaller cities, IT is looked at as a cost center. It's the IT folks that help a manufacturing location or a smaller company. And what we're doing is bringing it, you know, our folks are a profit center. They are our product. And so we're providing a place where IT folks can be respected and in fact cherished for the work that they're doing. We're sharing that around, right? There are companies that are following us. We're seeing in Mobile, Alabama, for instance, the city had a plan and a dream for a tech corridor in Mobile. And it was just on paper. And it wasn't until we committed to renovating a historic building on the side of, you know, just on the outskirts of downtown, that they were able to realize that. And we've now seen that all of the buildings up and down the block are starting to be, you know, being renovated, being leased by higher tech companies. We're proving out the model that these folks exist.
Yes.
And companies are following.
Yes. How do you find alternative sources of talent?
So we, and our CEO, Monty Hamilton, has led the charge on this. We are big believers that not everything requires a college education. And so we believe that there are multiple ways in which you can learn how to be a software developer and be a strong software developer. And we very much appreciate our folks that have computer science backgrounds and those that have come from industry and worked, you know, 20, 30 years in the space. But we're also interested in non-traditional students. We're interested in folks that are looking at coding academies, 9 to 12 to 16 week programs where they're immersed in the technology. And they can quite easily come out with a saleable job skill in the software development space that we can make use of.
Without the huge student loan attached.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And that's, you know, in many ways, a huge burden on the generations that are coming out of school now.
Yes. And, you know, that's come up a lot in here with companies that have said, you know, that college degree is, you know, it's not really necessary. If you're an entrepreneur and you have the drive and you're ready to learn, you don't necessarily have to have that 4-year degree.
Yeah. There are so many resources out there, you know, online education as well as, like I said, you know, coding academies and different things. I think there's so much growth in the space outside of the college arena.
Right. What is, where do you see Rural Sourcing in the future? Where do you see you guys going?
You know, the opportunities are endless. I think we have seen where we're growing into new practice areas, looking at ways in which our clients are challenging us to say, I can't find this talent here in the U.S., but I'd love to see 30 of our centers all across the U.S., you know, looking at major opportunities like Augusta and Albuquerque and Mobile, and then looking at potentially satellite even to tap into all of the talent within a state. I think that the opportunities are really endless to put U.S. folks back to work.
Yeah, Ingrid, what's your high low? The best part of your job and the worst part of your job?
The best part of my job is our people and their stories. Knowing that, you know, we're taking in Mobile, we have a police officer who came in as an intern with us. We call them junior associates, and he's going to school and starting a second career. Being able to provide an opportunity for folks like that is what drives us every day. Our low is it's not fast enough for me. I want to create those 3,000 jobs tomorrow. I think it's important too. It's something I fully believe in, that we need to find more women in the space. Today, 20-30% of females are taking, you know, high-end AP courses in computer science in high school, and yet only 0.4% of women are majoring in computer science in college. We need to figure out the way in which we're getting more women in the space. I believe will be far more successful as companies are moving from product companies to software companies.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Ingrid. We're going to come back to you, but right now I want to move on to Keith Wilmot. Keith Wilmot is the president and CEO of LeaderCast. LeaderCast is an organization that exists to build leaders worth following. Keith is the biggest raving fan of a group of crazies that honestly believe they can positively change the culture of leadership in the world. Welcome to the show, Keith.
Great to be here.
Okay. How did the idea of LeaderCast originate? And tell us what LeaderCast is.
Sure. LeaderCast is a brand, and it exists to build leaders that are worth following. We really do that in two ways. Number one, we run the largest leadership event in the world. And this May 6th, we'll be running it at the Infinite Energy Arena, which we'll get into a little bit. We also have a digital platform designed for time-starved leaders that help leadership development inside of organizations or individual leaders grow.
Okay. And how did the idea originate?
Yeah, the idea originated just from from some stats that really keep us up at night. There's the studies that show that about 50% of the U.S. population would consider themselves either disengaged or actively disengaged in their work. And that just breaks our heart. Every Monday morning, people are driving on those busy highways, just disengaged with what they're doing. And that's a leadership challenge. That's not a company challenge. That's a leadership challenge. Another study that just blows our mind is over 50% of people would take a new boss over a pay raise.
Wow.
And that's obviously a leadership challenge. And some bad boss reports state that, you know, I think bad bosses are costing and poor leadership is costing the U.S. economy about $135 billion a year. And just this staggering results, because you're losing people and the cost of retention and acquisition of new talent is so costly for companies.
Yeah, and we've heard it's been said in this room many times that people don't quit jobs, they quit bosses.
People leave
You've
people.
You've heard that.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's really the essence of why we launched LeaderCast. 85% of the U.S. population believes that we are in a leadership crisis in our country. The world needs a brand like LeaderCast that stands for stronger leadership, stands for giving people tools to be better leaders, and in our mission of building leaders that are worth following.
Right, because it costs money when you bring someone on board, you train them, and then they don't work out, then you've lost money.
Absolutely. The cost of losing employees is dramatic on organizations, especially small companies.
Right. Well, what does it mean to be a leader following?
Yeah, it's a great question. We look at leader worth following in two ways. One is values. There's a values base, and then also behavioral. And values tend to be intrinsic in leaders. These are things like integrity, character, being people first, compassion. These are buildable behaviors, but they tend to be intrinsic in a leader and a person. But where we focus a lot of effort and time on is behaviors. These are behaviors like insight and creativity and innovation. And over time, these behaviors that are built turn into being a leader worth following.
Okay, tell us about LeaderCast Live on May 6th.
Yeah, on May 6th, it's the largest one-day leadership event in the world. We'll have about 125,000 leaders attend from all over the world, Canada, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, Japan. We have host sites all over the world. We run the event live out of the Infinite Energy Arena in Suwanee, Georgia. We'll have about 6,000 leaders there. And then we broadcast it out to those locations that, you know, about 700 to 800 locations, and including big companies like Coca-Cola and Apple and Walmart and Motorola. So they simulcast it into the event. And the event is based on a theme. The theme this year is Architects of Tomorrow and what it means to be a visionary leader. And then we're going to, you know, when you think about vision as a behavior, you tend to think that that's the responsibility of like a CEO or a board of directors. We're going to debunk that myth at LeaderCast to show that visionary leadership is a behavior that we all as leaders need. And we're going to break the event into four kind of stages. The eyes to see a preferred future, the heart to inspire that preferred future, the voice to share it, and the feet to lead. And whether you're a high school student or whether you're a CEO of a major organization, the content that you'll get out of that day will be very relevant in your leadership journey.
So anyone can come.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're blessed with a very wide range of audience. We'll have stay-at-home moms to CEOs of major Fortune 500 companies attend, because we're so focused on those qualities of leadership, those behaviors of leadership that are necessary to be a visionary leader.
And can you tell us about some of the speakers that you're going to have?
Yeah, we always get a great lineup of speakers. When we think about our theme, we as a team, we think through, who are the best leaders in the world that could speak into that topic of vision? So this year we have Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of Apple. I mean, think about what Woz has done with that product and that brand, and how he's really been an architect of a future of technology. We have Kat Cole. Kat is a phenomenal leader of a company called Focus Brands, brands like Schlotzky's Deli, Moe's, Auntie Anne's Pretzel, Cinnabon. Oh. These are businesses that and brands that we absolutely love. Kat's leadership journey is an incredible one, but she's an absolute student of leadership, and especially with this next generation. So Kat's gonna be a dynamic speaker on our stage. Andy Stanley, he has been a speaker the last couple of years. He's honestly been our top-rated speaker the last couple of years. Andy is a student of leadership. He's especially in the space of vision and what he's been able to do with North Point Church, one of the fastest-growing churches in the world. And his impact on the community and on leaders has been pretty profound. Coach Nick Saban will be joining us. Whether you like the University of Alabama or not... Yeah, it does hurt, but you know what? One thing you can't do is you can't take away from, you know, his success. And, you know, we're with Coach Saban, we're really interested to understand, how does he get 18 to 21-year-old athletes to come to the University of Alabama, knowing that most of them, you know, think of this school as a stepping stone to something next called the NFL. How does he get them to play Alabama football? With a very specific type of football. And, you know, that's a visionary leader. And he obviously has some really good insight that's going to be applicable to, you know, any leadership or any organization that you're leading. We also have Rourke Denver. He's a U.S. commander in the Navy SEALs. And Rourke has been, you know, obviously very successful in what he's represented to our country. I think he's been on 120 missions, has never lost a teammate in battle. He's lost a lot of other SEALs, but no one under his leadership. And he attributes that success purely to leadership being the simple differentiator, the simple greatest differentiator in team success.
Okay. And if our audience members that are listening now, how can they get more information about the conference and how much does a conference cost, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So today for the listeners, if you go to leadercast.com, and you click on events, you'll see all the pricing for the events. And we have a special code for your listeners. So if they go to leadercast.com, click on events, you'll see there's a special code that you can put in. If you put in the code ABR, you'll get a 20% discount to whatever ticket that you want. It's very much like a major venue. There's different types of seats that are available. The best way to describe LeaderCast, if you haven't been, is take a Cirque du Soleil show, a rock concert, and a leadership gathering, and fuse it together, and that's what LeaderCast is.
Oh, wow. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. We have a lot of, we'll give you a little insight for your listeners. The U.S. Olympic team is going to be there. Obviously, we've got the Summer Olympics coming up, so we've got the U.S. Olympic team coming. We're going to break a Guinness Book of World Records at the event, and we've got a lot of other fun things planned for the day. But go to leadercast.com, and the code to get you the 20% discount is ABR.
ABR, Atlanta Business Radio. And why did you choose Atlanta to be the epicenter for LeaderCast?
You know, really, it is Atlanta is an epicenter for leadership. And when you think about the companies that are represented here in this organization or this city, I mean, Rural Sourcing being one, but Coca-Cola, Home Depot, I mean, these are large UPS. I mean, we really do have, you know, the epicenter of brands, focus brands, some large organizations that have a lot of global influence. And we believe that Atlanta absolutely can be a leadership epicenter to influence the world.
And what do you see for the future of LeaderCast?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously global growth. We're seeing a lot of intrigue and interest in U.S. leadership-based principles, especially around this idea of what a leader worth following is. We have about 50 host sites in Canada, Mexico, South Korea, interestingly, is an area of the world that has a strong passion and interest in leadership. And we think that there's a great potential for us to really influence the leadership landscape in the world. And our vision as a brand is to be the most influential leadership brand in the world.
Well, I definitely want to be a part of LeaderCast Live. I wrote down the code so I can get the 20% off as well. But thank you. We're going to come back to you in a minute, Keith. But right now we're going to go to Mark. Mark Mobley is a pastor and city council member, joined with Georgia Calls in 2015 to bring his wealth of business, pastoral, and nonprofit knowledge to the table. With years of experience in both the public and nonprofit arenas, Mark is purposefully leading the talented team at Georgia Calls to help carve a path for returning citizens here in the Atlanta area to restore their lives, rebuild their families, and give back to their own communities after a successful reentry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay. So tell our audience, paint us a picture. What is Georgia Calls?
Well, Georgia Calls is a 501c3 that's based in Buford, Georgia. And we help men and women that are coming out of prison reestablish their lives so that they can live successfully and flourish. The unemployment rate when you come out of prison, the first year out of prison for men, is 75%. And so in some ways, we have created a permanent underclass. And through that, we have created a class of people without hope. And so we at Georgia Calls are trying to change that flow. We're trying to figure out a way to open the door so that these men and women can be productive members of society.
And how do you do that?
Oh, wow. It's an intensive one-year program. We have them for 10 and a half hours a day. And the reason that we chose a year is because it takes time to change your habits. Most people fail because they have poor habits. As I was listening to Keith talk about leadership, I was scribbling down questions that I want to ask him, because so many of us are inspired. We want to change our lives. And we see these men and women come in and they are fresh out of prison and they're, you know, it's like the first day of school when you were in first grade or ninth grade, you wore your best clothes. You were very interested in being there. But the problem is by the third or fourth day of school, the habits that you had the year before, they tend to pull you right back to where you were. And so what we want to do is create an environment so that they can change their habits. We do that by giving them a job where it's really on the job training for a year. It's a temp job. However, we're able to give them immediate feedback. So in that place, we also have classes that we call our job life skill classes, where we look to fill the gaps in their development, find and fill those gaps so that as they go forward, they have the knowledge that they need. We also offer spiritual growth or guided reading in order to give them a reason why. You know, I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember the 1980s when we tried to scare people straight. We took took them to prison and said, you know, look, this is what it's like. Fear's not enough. Mm. There's got to be a reason why. And so we try to give that to them. We try to point them out a reason to live, a reason to stay out. And we offer individual counseling, case management to help them navigate the hurdles that are in front of them as they come out of prison.
Well, what process led you to get involved with prisoner reentry?
Wow, it's kind of a confluence of events. The CEO of our sister company is Jay Reeder, and the sister company is Voice Nation in Buford. And Jay and I are old friends. I actually taught him in Bible college, and he is a wonderful visionary leader. He was looking for a way to use his company to be a blessing to the world. And so he's done lots of missions work. In fact, he went to Haiti after the earthquake, and he and I consulted with his company a good bit. And he and I were talking about the fact that he saw people that were capable, he saw people that were intelligent, but he also saw people that were continuously failing. And that the country was, you know, if you look at the Dominican Republic right across the island, it's flourishing, but these folks on the same island are dying. And he asked the question, why? And we began talking about the gaps in people's development. We developed a curriculum, a job life skill curriculum, that Voice Nation actually uses in their staff development. We use it at Georgia Calls. So from that, he began working with the homeless in Atlanta, and that's where he discovered that most of the men that he was working with were fresh out of prison, because they didn't have any options. And, you know, I told you about the 75% unemployment. When you think about the fact that they have to visit their probation or parole officer, that they have fines, that they have back child support, all of the things, it's like you come out, we give you a $25 gift card, a bus ticket home, and say good luck. And it doesn't happen.
And that's not enough.
And so what happens is, over 5 years, two-thirds of them end up back in prison. $28,000 a year to incarcerate a man or a woman in the state of Georgia. $91,000 if you're talking about a juvenile. And so, you know, a budget of $1 billion, that's really sideways energy. And we're trying to change that into forward energy for America.
And why do you think that someone coming back out into society has such a hard time? Is it because they've just been institutionalized, they've had someone tell them what to do for the last however many years?
That's an excellent point. There are a lot of reasons. One of the things that we say consistently around Georgia Calls is there's a reason they went to prison. And we have to recognize that people come in broken. And so we are looking to give them the habits that will make them successful by identifying the ones that are making them unsuccessful and correcting them. So we're a very high feedback environment. You got to want to change your life, because it's pretty intense. Besides the 10 and a half hours a day, you have people that are, you know, constantly in your business, and most of us don't enjoy that a whole lot. You're right that you have people that have been institutionalized. We have one gentleman that's been institutionalized for 3 decades. And
wow.
So when you imagine him trying to go back into the workforce, he's never seen a cell phone. He's never been in a Walmart. He doesn't have the skills to be successful. And so the easiest thing for him to do, because he knows that he can survive it, is to commit another crime and go back to prison. The problem with that is there's going to be a brand new victim. There's going to be a cost to society. There's the ongoing cost of the children that he has on the outside that society is going to have to take care of. We're trying to shortcut that and to, you know, change the financial outcome as well as the social outcome, to become more pro-social instead of antisocial.
And what, Mark, do you say to the naysayers, the ones that say, you know, why give them a second chance? They've already committed a crime. You know, why even bother?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think I've named some of the statistics that really drive us, that keep us up at night, as Keith said. Two-thirds of them go back before 5 years. The new victims, the $1 billion that we spend in the state of Georgia every year. The fact that 20,000 men and women are going to leave prison this year and come back to our communities. 20,000. That, you know, I'm a city councilman in the city of Jefferson. That's two cities of Jefferson that we're going to have back. But not just that. It's the American thing to do. We believe in second chances in America. I mean, Georgia was founded as a penal colony. So, you know, all of us are returning citizens to some degree. It's the Christian thing to do. We believe in redemption until somebody that's committed a crime shows up at our door. And today with technology, you know, a one-year sentence really turns into a life sentence, because once, you know, you go into the HR director, you turn in your resume, and they see that you have a felony on your record, the easiest thing for them to do is take that, throw you out the door, and look at the other people in their stack, because there's so many people that are applying for a job. So we're looking to, again, change that equation.
Okay. And how is Georgia Calls different from other charities?
We are really trying to give them a hand up instead of a handout. You know, so many charities end up toxic. I've got a long background in church work, in nonprofit work, and so many times what we do to help people ends up hurting them. It creates a climate of dependency. It creates bad habits. It takes away their sense of accomplishment. It takes away their sense of vision. Again, Keith was talking about how you imagine the future. So many of these people are hopeless. One of the things that we've discovered through our research is that if we can give people a sense of hope and control over their future, that they are much more likely to stay out of prison. And so that's what we are trying to do by giving them the dignity of work, by allowing them to reestablish the relationships in their family. You can imagine what it's like when you get out of prison and you've been in for 15 years and suddenly you're going to go back home and the kids that you haven't seen, the mother of your children that you're going to have to be reunited with and start dealing with, those things are, they're like landmines. And so we help them navigate that. And I almost say it like this, that when you're in prison, it's like you're on the bottom of the ocean and we just hand them the $25 gift card and the bus ticket home. But what really people need to do is they need to come up slowly like a diver from the bottom of the ocean and reacclimate themselves. And that's what we do. Instead of just giving them the ability to get a job, we give them the tools so that they can keep a job.
And so over the last 18 months, what results have you seen and what lessons have you learned so far?
Well, I was listening to Keith talk about disengagement, and that's a big statistic that we talk about at Georgia Calls and at Voice Nation. The American worker is disengaged. And I think that some of the things that we've learned more than anything else is how much those gaps in their development affect their heart at work and their worldview. So many times, you know, when you have a leader, there's just this disconnect. We are training these men and women because of the felony conviction thing. We're training them to be entrepreneurs. We, you know, not everybody wants to, but we challenge them to start their own business because then there's no lid on their future. And so every time something goes wrong, when I bring them into my office and I begin talking about how to change their behavior, I have them sit in my seat and think about, you know, if you were sitting here and somebody in your company did this, how would you do that? And watching them see their worldview change has become amazing in terms of engagement. So we can keep statistics. We're a call center. And then we have other call centers that work the same phone calls that we do. When you look at the statistics, we dominate the top 20%. 75% of the top 20% of all the operators in our company are from Georgia Calls. These are men and women that are hungry for a chance to change their life, but they haven't had the opportunity nor the skills.
Okay, and what do you see for the future? Or what would you like to see happen in the future for Georgia Calls?
Well, we're going to have to expand. I mean, we have 20 people in our program, which, like I told you, 20,000. So we're 0.1% of the answer. But this is a proof of concept. This is our laboratory to learn what it's like to come out of prison. While I've done things that probably were worthy of going to prison, I've never been. So we've used this to learn what needs to be done. And we'd like to apply those in different areas. There's a lot of people that can't do the job that we do. So we'd like to partner with other businesses to establish a Georgia Calls type program, especially businesses that have a very high turnover rate. You know, I was very interested listening to Ingrid, and I just want to know how you recruit people, because we're constantly looking for those, you know, those people that fit the model. But we want to expand into different areas so that we can train people with different skill sets and different desires. I mean, this works because this is what we know. So we're looking to go in different areas.
So how can our audience get in touch with you if they want more information or want to help?
www.gacalls.org is our website. You can find out all about us there. And you can contact us. We would love for you to come visit, especially as a business leader. We'd love for you to come and see what we're doing, see if what we are doing could help you or if you could help us in some way. We are learning.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mark. I'm now going to open up the table for some crosstalk. So we'll start with you, Ingrid, if you have a question.
I do. Actually, so Keith, tell me a little bit about companies like mine and others. What would you say is one thing that we could all do to move in the right direction with the leaders at all levels within our organizations?
I think train them. I think, you know, one of the things that we've seen is there's a definite gap in what we kind of call horizontal leadership development. Most companies are spending a lot of time on vertical leadership development. So they're building better IT people. They're building better marketers and finance leaders. But what was in the past thought of these soft skills of leadership, how visionary are you? How do you deal with conflict in an organization? How do you lead a team with excellence? How do you have difficult conversations at work? These kind of more softer skills are actually becoming the harder metric skills of differentiating success. So not enough companies are actually investing in building stronger leaders in their organization.
Yeah, that's great. I definitely think, you know, it's something we look at every year, and it's always something I'm concerned we're not doing enough about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Keith, do you have a question?
Yeah, well, I actually have one for both. But Ingrid, you had said something that caught my ear. You said IT folks respected for the work that they do. And when I hear the word respected, that to me jumps out as kind of a leader worth following word that we like to use. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing to inspire that in these organizations.
Well, I think it's twofold. First, I think we bring in folks that have a myriad of experience, and we are looking at them as leaders for our clients. We are consulting, you know, they're not just looking at a tech spec and laying down code. They're really taking ownership of what they're building and creating and working closely with their clients to say, here's what I think. Here's how I think we could improve this, and working together. You know, one of the great things that our team does is think about process automation. How can we, you know, how can we save our clients money? Yes, I can go bill a certain dollar amount for the worker that I'm going to do in this space, but I could save you 50% if we wrote this automated tool. And we're very much challenging our folks to be thoughtful of, you know, we are part of our clients' teams. And I think that garners the kind of respect that we want, you know, for our people.
Yeah, that's neat. That's powerful. And Mark, you know, one of the things you talked about was this idea of, you know, giving folks that are coming out of prison the tools that they need to personally grow.
Right.
And you know, you talked a little bit about this idea of discipline, of building the right habits. We launched a product, and we can talk about it after the show, but we did launch a product that's digital. It's a platform based that can be accessed through a smartphone that provides short videos on leadership topics. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to offer that as a free resource to folks coming out.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to take that. I'm a collector of great tools, mm-hmm. but we developed our own internal job life skill program that, you know, again, goes beyond the how do you write a resume? How do you interview? You know, how do you mm-hmm. get a job? That's what the question has traditionally been. We've asked the question, how do you keep a job? So we've gone into decision making. We've gone into a lot of the soft skills that you were referring to. My wife and I had the opportunity to talk with Commissioner Mark Butler, the Department of Labor Commission chairman here in the state of Georgia. And he said that when you look at our unemployment rate, in a lot of ways, it's going to stay there because the people don't have the soft skills. And so much of what we do is attempt to develop those soft skills. You know, we call it leadership. But in a lot of ways, there are things that we just took for granted as we were growing up, but somehow we've lost them in the American culture. Yep. It's the ability to integrate with other people. And maybe it's the technology. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's just modern life mm-hmm. where we are all so separated. We used to have front porches, but now we all have back decks, and we just drive the car in and lower the garage
door. It's funny, I read a stat yesterday that just blew my mind that the average U.S. citizen today unlocks their cell phone, their smartphone, 80 times a day.
I believe it.
And just think about that from a leadership perspective. That's 80 times that you're not engaging with another human, that you're Absolutely. That you're self-focused looking at a device. And it's a challenge, you know, for organizations moving forward.
And that's one of the things that we really try to focus on is the ability to get along with other people. I mean, you were talking about disengagement. You were talking about the fact that when people leave a job, they're actually leaving a leader. Mm-hmm. It's that ability to work their way through those crises in a way that you can go forward. Too many times we don't have the skill set as leaders or as followers in order to navigate conflict and come out the other side with a positive mindset toward each other so that we can continue to work together. Mm-hmm. That even if you manage to solve the problem, the emotional hurt is so much so that you end up looking for another job. And again, those are sideways motions that cost us hidden costs.
No doubt.
Yeah, and I was in education for 23 years and I taught college age students, and I think that soft skills are going to eventually have to be taught in the classroom because, like you said, kids, like I have two 15-year-olds, they're texting, they've got their tablet. One thing that's come up in our house is my kids are old enough to get their permits. And you would think that like the very first day they were eligible to go get it, that they would want to do it. And they don't.
No.
And my daughter's like, I'm not really that interested in driving. And it's because she doesn't have to, because she can Skype with her friends, and there is no need for that.
That's amazing. My children both did exactly the same thing. And we literally forced our daughter to move out and go to college because she needed to build those soft skills. Now, she's tremendous. She's actually a leader. She's the dorm leader in her dorm now. So that's pretty cool. But, to my son, he's a little more naturally gregarious, but it both of them waited because of that. They didn't have to engage.
Yeah. When I was 15 on my birthday, I was down at the DMV waiting in line.
Right.
Marty, do you have a question?
Absolutely. I've got a couple of questions. I was listening to Ingrid talk about the fact that you guys are recruiting non-traditional type programmers, the ones that didn't go through college. And I was very interested in how you measure those folks before you hire them. What sort of measurement tool do you use to find out if they have the skill set to do the work?
So we run a couple very interesting programs. One, we put on hackathons. So a lot of folks are teaching themselves at home, right?
Sure.
There's many kids in high school who already know how to program. So we run hackathons and teams of students or young folks come into, this event. We put together kind of a framework of what we're looking for them to build. And then they have 4 hours to work as a team and build out a mobile application or a mobile website. And so we're able to kind of see the fruits of their study and their labor. And we've been very successful in bringing on interns, junior associates, as well as full-time employees, full-time colleagues from that. Another way that we're looking at non-traditional students is we also, as they come through the interview process, we're holding open houses. We're having what we call red carpet days, where we're bringing folks in and giving them kind of insight into what we do, as well, having them sit down with folks, ask a lot of questions, work on a small assignment together as a group, see how they team together, and then put them through a series of interviews and discussions with people that are on our team, as well as a coding assessment. So we use a product called Codility.com, and they literally will sit and lay down some code while they're in our office. And so we're able to kind of see the work that they've done prior to coming in.
Oh, that's fascinating. We use a group type interview ourselves, to see the dynamic and the interaction. So that's fascinating. And one of our graduates is using Khan Academy to learn coding. So
that's fabulous.
That's pretty cool. Keith, from a church background, I was listening to your LeaderCast, and I've attended your LeaderCast, which is fantastic, by the way. The question that I have, because as a church leader, I've seen people go to the conferences and come home a 3-day wonder. that, you know, they, in 3 days, they learn everything that they need to know about marriage or leadership or, you know, whatever. And so they know it all, except for we know that their habits haven't changed. That LeaderCast is a day of incredible inspiration. How do you translate that inspiration into the work that's necessary to actually change?
That's a great question. And it was one of the driving factors of us launching a product called LeaderCast Now. And LeaderCast Now is a digital leadership development tool for time-starved people. It's short 3-minute videos or less on different aspects of the 7 core values that behavioral values that we have, core competency values of what it means to be a leader worth following. So every day you get an email from LeaderCast, it has a short video, inspires an action. And, you know, I think it's a combination of, number one, having the right tools, but then also having the discipline as a leader and the desire to personally grow.
Absolutely.
I think Stephen Covey has a great quote. It says that, you know, internal leadership victories precede external.
Absolutely.
And if you're investing in yourself and for the cost of coming to LeaderCast and buying LeaderCast Now, that cost of a personal investment is so cheap compared to the impact that you can make on the lives of others.
Excellent.
Well, excellent. Excellent, excellent show, guys. Thank you. I want to thank Ingrid Miller from Rural Sourcing, Keith Wilmot from LeaderCast, Mark Mobley from Georgia Calls. And audience, you can check out their bios and contact information on the Atlanta Business Radio page. We will also have pictures from the show today. And if your business is doing something exciting and you would like to be featured on Business Radio X, reach out to us on the contact page at businessradiox.com. All right, my friends, thank you for listening. I'm Alex Gossett-Shiflett, your hostess with the mostest. And as always, I'm wondering who will be my next guest on Business Radio X.